Penguin Random House Audio presents Len Lomel, D-Day Hero, by Stephen M. Gillen. Read for you by Fred Sanders. This book is dedicated to the brave Rangers of Dog Company who lost their lives at Point du Hoc. James Blum, 6744. Robert Cardy, 6744. John Clifton, 6644. Melvin Heffelbauer, 6644. Lawrence Johnson, 6744. Charles Kettering, 6644. Harold Lester, 6644. Clarence Long, 6644. Thomas Mendenhall, 6644. John Miljevac, 6644. Norman Miller, 6644. Raymond Raindo, 6644. Bernard Shuchuk, 6644. William Vaughn, 6644. Benjamin Wirtz, 6644. Preface. At 4:45 a.m. on June 6, 1944, Leonard Bud Lomel, the first sergeant of the Army Rangers Dog Company, 2nd Ranger Battalion, left the safe confines of the HMS Amsterdam, a British passenger and freight ship converted to wartime duty that was stationed 12 miles off the French coast. He then led his 22 men onto a British landing craft, Assault LCA 668, a cigar-shaped boat with a flat bottom specifically designed for amphibious invasions. Lomel and the Rangers were about to play a leading role in the largest amphibious invasion in the history of warfare. On D-Day, nearly 7,000 ships, including 1,213 warships and 4,127 landing craft, delivered more than 150,000 American, British, and Canadian forces onto a 50-mile stretch of France's Normandy region. There was no significance to the D in D-Day. It was common military language to describe the first day of any operation. The timing of this unprecedented attack could not have been more urgent. Since 1939, Adolf Hitler had terrorized and conquered the European continent. But now, following a foolish decision to invade his former ally, the Soviet Union, the German army found itself newly vulnerable. American President Franklin D. Roosevelt and Soviet leader Joseph Stalin successfully lobbied the reluctant British Prime Minister Winston Churchill to open a second front in Europe. They made the inspired decision to choose General Dwight D. Eisenhower as the supreme Allied commander of a bold and risky mission dubbed Operation Overlord. With this undertaking, the very legitimacy of the Allied powers hung in the balance. It was an open question, historian Stephen Ambrose noted, whether a democracy could produce young soldiers capable of fighting effectively against the best that Nazi Germany could produce. Hitler was certain the answer was no. Totalitarian fanaticism and discipline would always conquer democratic liberalism and softness. For Lomel, a wiry, muscular 24-year-old with brown hair, piercing blue eyes, and a slightly hooked nose, D-Day would be his first combat mission. His orders were to lead his 22 men up the 100-foot cliffs of Point du Hoc and dismantle the 155-millimeter French-made guns pointing down on Omaha and Utah beaches. The guns could hurl a 95-pound shell nearly 12 miles, thus posing a mortal threat not only to the shores but also to nearly 7,000 Allied ships at sea. Of the 330 enemy artillery positions, the Army ranked the guns of Point du Hoc as the most lethal. The Germans had strong reasons to be confident in the impregnability of the point by both land and sea. It formed part of Hitler's Atlantic Wall, a 2,400-mile fortification of bunkers bristling with heavy guns and surrounded by landmines and water obstacles. The point itself was protected by anti-aircraft guns and machine gun nests, and honeycombed with underground concrete shelters that were connected to the gun emplacements by a sophisticated maze of trenches. Many considered the Rangers' task a suicide mission. "It can't be done," claimed one intelligence officer. three old women with brooms could keep the Rangers from climbing that cliff. The Rangers proved him wrong. Lommel dodged the bullets and German grenades, scaled the cliffs of Pointe du Hoc, and almost single-handedly dismantled the guns that looked down on Omaha and Utah beaches. Had his mission failed, it's possible that Germany's guns could have wreaked a lethal amount of havoc on the invading Allied forces. By knocking them out, Lommel allowed the invasion fleet to land on shore and unload men and equipment more safely and more quickly, thus guaranteeing the success of Operation Overlord. If you want to pick out an individual other than General Eisenhower, more than any other individual that made D-Day a success, it would be First Sergeant Len Lommel, claimed Stephen Ambrose. D-Day turned out to be the decisive Western battle of World War II. But it was more than just a single clash that the Allies won that day. On D-Day, Ambrose wrote, "The soldiers of democracy showed that they could outfight and outthink the soldiers of totalitarianism." While most of the stories about Lommel begin and end on D-Day, his heroism did not stop there. For Lommel and the handful of survivors of Dog Company, D-Day actually lasted for 2.5 days. Rather than breathing a sigh of relief after knocking out the guns, the Rangers were trapped as Army Command redirected reinforcements to help the First Army, which was still bogged down on Omaha Beach. Although greatly outnumbered and short on everything from food and water to ammunition, they fought off repeated German counterattacks and survived, but at great cost. Once rescued, medics sent Lommel back to England to treat a bullet wound in his side. It had turned black from gangrene. The army offered him an easy job, which would have allowed him to recuperate and then sit out the rest of the war. But Lommel insisted on returning to combat. He checked himself out of the hospital, hitchhiked to England's east coast, and talked his way onto a transport back to France and Dog Company. Over the next 6 months, Lommel slogged through mud, rain, snow, and fog, fighting in every major battle as American troops advanced through France toward Berlin. Along the way, he was promoted to second lieutenant. While D-Day was his most important mission, Lommel would soon face an even more dangerous one. "June 6th, he reflected on many occasions, "was not my longest day." That came 6 months later when he led D Company to capture the steep and slippery Hill 400, a heavily fortified German installation that towered 400 feet over Bergstein, Germany, in the Hürtgen Forest. American generals were determined to seize the area to secure their advance toward the Rhine as part of their relentless drive toward Berlin. From this strategic outpost, Germans launched deadly accurate artillery attacks throughout the Ruhr Valley. 1,000 men had already tried and failed to capture the installation. On December 7th, 130 Rangers from Dog and Fox companies ran 100 yards through heavy machine gun fire and captured the hill within 24 hours. Only a small handful of men survived the assault. Despite being severely wounded with a deep gash in his upper thigh and shrapnel embedded in his hand, and outnumbered 10-1, Lommel and his men managed to defend the hill against 5 German counteroffensives. Lommel had been the heart of Dog Company since its inception, but after the Hill 400 attack, he needed to return to the States for surgery at Valley Forge Army Hospital outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It would take almost a year for him to fully recover. His closest pal, Jack Kuhn, became the new leader of D Company. While at home, Lommel spoke at war bond rallies before being discharged from the Army on December 30, 1945, due to his injuries. For his bravery in battle, Lommel received the Bronze Star, the Silver Star, and the French Legion of Honor, and the British Military Medal. The U.S. Army awarded him its highest medal, the Distinguished Service Cross, and the Purple Heart with clusters for the wounds he sustained in combat. With these accolades and many others, Lommel became one of the most decorated Rangers of World War II. This is his story. Chapter 1. Bud, I'm Broke. Leonard Bud Lommel's story begins with his family,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?